Welcome to Federal Insights Enterprise Infrastructure Solutions Month, sponsored by Verizon.
New information requirements and the emergence of new technology mean it's time for many agencies to modernize their networks. Networks must accommodate high levels of managed remote access, growing use of commercial clouds, Internet of Things capabilities, and the need to converge the infrastructure for greater simplicity and lower cost. For what one large department is doing, I spoke with the Chief Information Officer at Health and Human Services, Jose Arrieta. Let's begin with just a little bit of topical news, and that is just describe the provisions you've had to make for HHS in the pandemic since late February, early March, whenever it hit federal agencies. I imagine that's really caused some changes that you probably weren't part of the long-term plan, or maybe they were, but maybe not just so soon.
Yeah, Tom. So first of all, thanks for having us on, and thanks for the question. So I would say before, as we prepared to telework and we prepared to kind of deal with the pandemic that we saw coming, one of the changes we made, and it was a very timely investment, is we upgraded circuit capacity for the HHS network. We invested in improving our firewalls and improving our VPN capability across HHS. And it's interestingly enough, as we made those investments and started to kind of integrate those capabilities throughout our network, after about a week, after some of the contracts were awarded and some of the capabilities were up, and we started experiencing publicly documented cyber events that were significant. And the investments that we made to kind of prepare our workforce to telework, some of the strategies that we put in play to ensure maximum capability from a VPN perspective were available, but the network was available overall for some of our users and consumers that mainly relied on email. Because of those investments, we were actually able to defend ourselves and survive a very large cyber event that Secretary Azar was questioned about during a White House coronavirus task force meeting, and we're quite proud of that. So that's kind of what we did, and in doing that, we created a significant amount of resiliency from a network perspective that actually benefited us as the pandemic began to unfold.
Yeah, I guess it's always good to have positive answers for those congressional inquiries. But backing up from that whole episode that really everyone has been dealing with, still dealing with, give us a sense of the network environment normally for HHS. And I guess I would amend that by asking, is there a single network for Health and Human Services, because it is such a federated collection of large sub-agencies?
Yeah, I mean, when you think about HHS, you have to remember we're one of the largest network surface areas on the face of the earth. We are a data sharing entity. If we were a house, we'd have a million windows and doors. And so from a network perspective, we did have a singular tick from a perimeter perspective around the totality of the HHS network, but from a circuit perspective, from a VPN perspective, we have a series of kind of internally federated network security layers as well. And the interesting thing is that level of resiliency and that flexibility that type of environment created has been extremely beneficial for us during this time, because it gives us options, whether it's dealing with network traffic, whether it's dealing with data sharing traffic, whether it's dealing with a large maybe cyber event that's occurring. We have built in resiliency and redundancy into our network. What we've done, Tom, is we've actually kind of upgraded and over a period of about 120 days since some of the events we experienced at the beginning of the pandemic, we went through a process to actually upgrade to a modern MTIP and start to modernize that perimeter layer of security around the HHS network. And our goal is to create maximum visibility, but to ensure that resiliency that was kind of naturally built into our federated environment is still there and is still able to provide the redundancy that benefited us so much during the last couple of months. So the interesting thing about the pandemic and what we've experienced is it allowed us to take the best of both worlds and kind of mesh them together for what we believe will be more powerful, more highly functioning network at HHS.
And give us a sense of the technological foundations of it. I mean, is it mostly still MPLS types of circuits, or, you know, what are the basic topologies and technologies that are on there for transport?
Yeah, I think the number one change that we made was obviously upgraded certificate capability, upgraded our firewalls, made an investment, additional investment in VPN. You know, I think that's the standard line that you'd hear from the CIO community. But I think the change that we made that we think is most modern is at the perimeter security layer. And what we've done is we've actually gone from, you know, managing our own tick to actually having a company provide that service for us. And so we've been in establishing that, we've had to work to integrate our network operations center and our security operations center, and from a business process perspective, bringing our NOC SOC environments closer together, we think is going to allow us to react to things much quicker. And also in the new structure we have, it creates maximum visibility and maximum communication between our NOC SOC environments. And it'll allow us to be more flexible with a changing environment, and it will allow us to have more visibility in terms of traffic flow across the network. So we're really excited about it, and we're still working on it. The MTIP is up. We're working on integrating our NOC and SOC environments, and it is a very large business process change, but we think it's necessary, we think it's important, and we think it's the future of HHS.
So it sounds like your modernization drive really incorporates the cybersecurity aspect as much as the circuits and the bandwidth and the response, those types of traditional considerations?
Yeah, that's right. We're trying to, you know, one of the things we've learned since, you know, February, March, one of the things that we've learned is Network Operations Center and Security Operations Center, the more tightly they're intertwined with one another, the more communications they're having, the more agile you are to react to threats that occur in real time. Whether that threat is a nation state, whether that threat is an individual kind of actor that's trying to access the network, or whether that threat is just a large amount of people teleworking. And so, you know, that's been one of the keys for us. And the other thing I think it allows us to do is it allows us to, when we have it fully implemented, it allows us to focus in on identity access management and authentication, where we think, you know, a significant focus needs to be paid at all federal agencies to some of those fundamentals.
Jose Arrieta is CIO of Health and Human Services. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your transition to EIS shouldn't be complicated, and that's where Verizon can help. With a proven transition process and experience moving millions of connections, Verizon can give you the expertise and support you need, so you can worry less about the risk of disruption or overworking your team. And when you're ready to modernize, we'll be there to help. Rely on Verizon to help make your transition into EIS as simple as possible. The partner government agencies rely on. Get started with a transition guide at enterprise.verizon.com/EIS.
Welcome back to our interview with Jose Arrieta, CIO of the Health and Human Services Department. Our topic, the whys and hows of network modernization. That idea of bringing the security and the network operations centers together, that's a kind of radical departure in the thinking that has been widely extant up until now. I mean, I think agencies wanted to purposely keep them apart for a long time, for various reasons. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we've learned in this response, and I mean response to the pandemic, is that, and it doesn't mean that we're going to fully operate their business functions and have them operate from the same location, but it means that establishing an operating model where the Network Operations Center and Security Operations Center regularly communicate or regularly share information and insights and regularly coordinate is super important. And so what we're trying to do is, I think historically at HHS, what you've seen is a network operations center that existed in one of our operating divisions and a security operations center that we had that is kind of centralized at HHS HQ. And one of the things we're trying to do is just bring them closer together so that the Network Operations Center becomes a representation of the entirety of the HHS network with the Security Operations Center, so that we can pivot rapidly. Again, whether it's teleworking due to a large scale of folks that are teleworking, or whether it's due to a cyber event that may occur. And we think, I don't know that we think it's radical, but we think it's necessary. And as we've kind of dealt with some of the things we've had to deal with since March, it's one of the lessons learned that I think we all realized was extremely important as we modernize HHS network.
And in respect to modernizing the network, what are your plans for just basics like telephone and voice service and data services? How are you trying to upgrade that and perhaps bring it all together? And what kinds of speeds and feeds do you really need to have to operate the agency with all of the mission changes that have occurred?
Yeah, I mean, I think that the first thing that we haven't gotten to the point where we've awarded our EIS contract yet. So the establishing the MTIP was an outcome of a series of cyber events that we've been managing since March. And I think that one of the things that we're doing with the EIS contract award is we're focusing on our primary mission space, which is we want to obviously ensure that folks have the modern phones and that we're lowering fixed costs, ensure that network availability exists, ensure that folks have access to the network, whether they're accessing it through VPN, O365, or they're in the office. But I think the other thing is that we are a data sharing entity, and our focus is on maximizing our ability to securely and with integrity actually share data, and ensuring from a performance perspective that we have the ability to do that. And I think that during this pandemic, the one thing we've learned about public health is the ability to collect information, insight in terms of what's happening across the United States in real time is imperative for a well-coordinated response that will protect human lives, and sharing data rapidly is the other kind of key tenet. And so we from a performance perspective, that's the outcomes that we're actually looking for. And we are different in that sense. We are a large scale data sharing entity, and that's kind of one of our primary areas of focus from a performance perspective.
And you have talked in the past about the neural network that you have built in the acquisition to try to tie it to the technological needs. Is this going to be part of the thinking? How does that all fit in? Maybe I'm using the word network in a slightly different sense, but that's been important, I know, to you as before you even got to HHS.
Yeah, I mean, we've used insights from data in the acquisition process to significantly lower our cost. In fact, we entered into our first large ELA at the end of January of this year, and we significantly cut costs with one of our technology partners is to the tune of somewhere along the lines of $50 million over a 5-year period. We've used the data and the data insights to start to drive those ELAs. I think the other thing, Tom, and this is a little bit of a pivot from the question you asked, is that what we learned from doing that in the acquisition function actually allowed us to stand up something called HHS Protect. And HHS Protect has about 4 billion data elements in it from all 50 states, all 6 territories related to public health. There's no PII, there's no PHI in HHS Protect, but it is being used. And the data, we started kind of sharing it publicly via dashboards at HHS Coronavirus Data Hub, which is kind of one website. And then we actually started sharing the raw data at healthdata.gov. Which is another website, so that aspiring scientists from around the United States can access the raw data, build their own models, and can see kind of the models we built. And then the dashboard is so that folks can see hospitalization utilization, as an example, across the United States. And so we've taken the lessons learned from, we're trying to modernize the acquisition function to lower cost, and we've used those lessons learned to rapidly set up this thing called HHS Protect. We launched it on April 10th. Again, right now we're at about 4 billion data elements, and it's driving insights into the response across the United States. So I think, as you look at modern technology and as you pilot things and as you learn things, It only facilitates your ability to pilot and execute new things in the future in different mission spaces. And that's the goal that we've established ourselves, to always be learning, always be pushing the envelope to drive objectives that are that have the biggest boom bang for their buck, so to speak, for the American taxpayer or for public health, in our case, in the United States. And so far, that approach has been a successful approach for us.
And with respect to HHS Protect and its 4 billion data elements, that ties into the need that you have for that protection around the perimeter to keep that data sacrosanct. Even though you share it, it still has to be known to be unadulterated and otherwise unaffected by outside influences, even if it doesn't have the personally identifiable information and so forth. But nevertheless, you've got to really guard that jewel.
That's right. I mean, and so, you know, we've in HHS Protect, we've built a modern identity access management and authentication capability that's flexible and that integrates with federated identity access management authentication capabilities across government. And so we're interacting with operating divisions within HHS like CDC. We're also interacting with FEMA and state governments. So having a modern identity access management authentication layer is extremely important. We've then kind of used secure file transfer technology to receive data in a secure manner from commercial partners that we have data use agreements with, or from state partners. As I said, we're receiving data from all 50 states and all six territories. We have a time series capability in HHS Protect that creates a hash. The second we receive data from any party, it's time stamped every second. Any parsing, curation, or sharing of that data, there is a record of. One of the things we want to do is make that time series available to the public so that they can see exactly what the data set was when we received it, in raw form. And then there's also a record of all parsing, curation, sharing that actually occurred within the HHS Protect ecosystem. And HHS Protect, just to say one last thing, it's not a single product. There are 7-8 different commercial technologies that facilitate the HHS Protect ecosystem. There are 2, 3, 4 small businesses that are performing services on the HHS Protect ecosystem, whether it's help desk support or data science support. So it is a truly an approach of leveraging commercial technology, taking the existing technical limitations that exist in the health industry, and at the fastest pace possible and in the most flexible way possible, hopefully limiting burden, creating integration and visibility so that we have some insight so we can maximize the insight we have as to what's happening across the United States in response to this pandemic.
Jose Arrieta is CIO of Health and Human Services. We'll return with our third and final segment after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
Your transition to EIS shouldn't be complicated, and that's where Verizon can help. With a proven transition process and experience moving millions of connections, Verizon can give you the expertise and support you need, so you can worry less about the risk of disruption or overworking your team. And when you're ready to modernize, we'll be there to help. Rely on Verizon to help make your transition into EIS as simple as possible. The partner government agencies rely on. Get started with a transition guide at enterprise.verizon.com/EIS.
Welcome back to the third and final segment of our interview with Health and Human Services CIO Jose Arrieta on the topic of network modernization. And back up to the 50,000-foot view here, as you look to modernize HHS networks, how do you incorporate the particular needs of the various components, such as the NIH and the CDC and the FDA and all of these different units that are big and have very particularized needs in and of themselves? How does that all work and get baked into what you're doing, say, in the EIS effort?
Yeah, I think that one of the things that we've learned about the operating divisions is, first, make it very flexible for identity access management and authentication to occur, just because the department may shift. The resources may not be there to kind of shift the totality of the NIH, the totality of CDC. So as we modernize, ensure that we modernize in a flexible manner so that change can occur, but change doesn't increase the cost of the OpDevs so much And super rapidly that it hinders their ability to actually achieve their mission. So I think that's one thing. I think the other thing is that data sharing is at the core of the mission of the Department of Health and Human Services, and interoperability and ensuring that data sharing can occur in an interoperable way is extremely important. And so some of our operating divisions need access to raw data because they want to do their own analysis and they want to have be able to create an understanding of what's happening on the ground with something like novel coronavirus. It's very important because the data and the insights related to the coronavirus change rapidly, and they're different and all the time. There are different symptoms all the time. But at the same time, there's a need to make what the lessons that we've learned and the data sets that we've analyzed is to save them, save those models, save those insights, and make them available for a future response. And so I think that what we've learned is that if we can focus in on those two core objectives, making sure that we limit burden as much as possible, create flexible integration, modernize, but allow for modernization to occur in a timeline that's reasonable from both a cost and time perspective to the op devs, and then we ensure that data sharing can occur, but allow them the flexibility they need at the point of contact with a disease like novel coronavirus to access and use the data in a manner that they see fit. If we do those things, that modernization at HHS can occur, and it can occur rapidly. And I think that's kind of the key lesson learned and kind of my focus area as the CIO, based on what I've learned, in the last 18 months.
And finally, talk about the Trusted Internet Connection Initiative, because a lot of agencies are looking to this modern version of it, 3.0, as a service as opposed to a thing. And therefore, it's easy to deploy throughout the different parts of the infrastructure for access to cloud, access to external resources, and so on. What's your TIC strategy ahead?
Yeah, I mean, we just upgraded to MTIP, and so a managed trusted internet service provider business model. Not only did we have a vision to go to MTIP, but the pandemic itself and some of the events that have occurred since February required us to move there rapidly. So we actually have it up and functioning, and part of modernizing to the MTIP is making the changes from a network operations center perspective and from a security operations center perspective, and we're in the process of doing that now. So our approach has been, you can't jump across a river completely and find a path where each step you can find a rock that you can step on so you don't get all wet and find your way across. And that's the approach that we've been taking. We've just, instead of kind of taking our time, we're doing it in a full sprint, given the events that have occurred since the coronavirus pandemic has been spreading across the United States.
You've been listening to an interview with Jose Arrieta, Chief Information Officer of the Health and Human Services Department. To hear it again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights EIS Month, sponsored by Verizon on Federal News Network.
Your transition to EIS shouldn't be complicated, and that's where Verizon can help. With a proven transition process and experience moving millions of connections, Verizon can give you the expertise and support you need, so you can worry less about the risk of disruption or overworking your team. And when you're ready to modernize, we'll be there to help. Rely on Verizon to help make your transition into EIS as simple as possible. The partner government agencies rely on. Get started with a transition guide at enterprise.verizon.com/EIS.